You're listening to
Cat Tales. Hi, I'm Kat, and you're listening to Cat Tales. In this edition, I spend time with the legendary guitarist and all-round good guy, Earl Slick. He's rock and roll personified. He's played with David Bowie, John Lennon, and the New York Dolls, and now he talks to me about performing Bowie's Station to Station on a 40th anniversary tour. This is The One with Earl Slick.
It's Kat here, and I'm talking to Earl Slick, the fabulous Earl Slick at Norwich Art Centre.
Fab FM.
You're fab. So, we're here to do a nice tour of Station to Station, 40th anniversary, 40 years since it's been out. Mm-hmm. How did it all come about?
Tom Wilcox, who I met about 2 years ago with Reeves Gabrels, he was doing a session for Lisa Ronson, and I ended up playing on the track, and then Tom contacted me a ways later to do it, and it wasn't falling into place the right way, you know. And the funny thing was, it wasn't playing for 40 years. It was just the reason I even agreed to do it, because I never liked doing things without DB, and as you know, that was the one album that was really the best, which I would call a really close collaboration between me and David.
Right.
You know, it's my favorite one that I've ever done.
Right.
With him. So I said, yeah, sure.
You thought, this is good, I'm going to do it.
I can do that. But it's not very long. It's only like 36 minutes long.
Yes.
So do something else. But we're not going to do a whole bunch of Bowie songs like the record. We're going to do some more own stuff, you know, and we're going to do some Bowie stuff, but it's going to be messed with a bit.
Yeah. Well, that's the best way, isn't it,
make
really?
I'm going to make it like I would do it. I mean, we were doing that live. I mean, if you see live videos of us, of the touring band we had with DB last time, we took a lot of those songs and twisted them around differently than they were on the records, you know. Bored, you know.
Well, is that how you like to do it then? So you like to get on stage and just do your own stuff rather than...
We would take some of the songs ahead of time, you know, at rehearsals and just kind of, you know... So why don't we try it, doing it a little bit slower or faster or change it, because some things just to break it up.
Right.
When you've played a song enough times, it's like,
Yeah.
And you kind of play them, so.
Yeah. Do you think it needs that to keep it fresh as well? You know, 40 years is a long time.
You absolutely do to do it, because if you keep doing the same exact notes every time, it's not going to take very long before it's not only gets stale to us, then the audience is going to pick up on that. And they pay good money to see a show. And they need to get with every single dime that they paid for. Otherwise,
absolutely.
I don't belong up there. I'm not doing my job.
That's true. Now, you've been in the music career, let me think about this, 40 years?
Longer.
I know, I was going to say that, but I didn't want to. I was being polite.
Yeah.
So, 40 years. Yeah. Now, you've played with some fabulous people. Obviously, David Bowie, we've spoken about Station to Station. John Lennon, Yoko Ono Band, Tom Waits, New York Dolls. I mean, crikey, what a career. How have you managed to sustain that?
By taking these long gaps in between when I'm offered shit.
I love it.
I have been spending a lot of time with Buddy Guy for the last year and a half, which has been the most amazing experience of my life. He's going to be 80 summer. I think I've probably been on stage with him a good 15, 20 times in the last 18 months. It's every time he's around, I'm invited to play. I fly to Chicago, play at the club with him. And we've become great friends. And he's the real thing. And I was a blues player before Bowie found me. That's what I was doing.
What?
So when I got the gig, I was excited about getting the call, but I was going, I don't really do that.
Right.
But apparently he wanted that. So it worked itself out, obviously.
Yeah.
You know? But now, you know, I've spent quite a while now, the last 4 or 5 years, back to what I do the best, what I love doing is playing blues. And then being able to spend this time with Buddy has been, like, beyond. I mean, he's a founding father, and, you know, he really is. And it's a great inspiration to make me keep doing it, you know?
Well, so you've been doing that in the States, but you were also over here last year, weren't you, in 2015, when you went to do some stuff with the Beatles, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. I guess they do it every year in Liverpool, and I didn't know about it. And Mark Hudson, who put the band together, called me to do it. Because I don't normally like to do those kind of things. Mm. But with Mark, it was good because he's got it together, and it's not a tributey sounding, goofy, you know.
Yeah, so you're picky about what you do, which is great. You have to be.
And sometimes it costs me, you know. But, you know, I'd rather pay the price for the moment than for the long term. I'm stubborn. and I do what I do, and if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. And sometimes I'm, you know, kicking my own ass, but whatever.
But, you know, that's what, you know, that's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, when you get to 40 years in the business, it's about choosing what you want to do, not
it
just
is.
What you need to do, isn't it?
It is. You know, sometimes you do, you look, sometimes we need to do things.
Of course.
And sometimes you got to just say no
yeah.
and bite the bullet.
Yeah.
But every time I've done that, in short order, the right thing popped up.
Looked so after some
fate. It always does.
Yeah?
It always does.
Make good decisions. We obviously can't leave the conversation without talking about David.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, passing very just recently
yeah.
there. What would be your lasting memory of him?
The last memory I've actually had, the actual last one, was the day that we both left the studio when we finished the next day.
And how did that feel? You obviously didn't realize at the time that was going to be the last time.
It just felt like
a
normal, okay, we're done
yeah.
with our album, whatever,
yeah.
see you later, you know,
yeah.
like a normal end of album.
And what kind of mark do you think he's made on the industry?
Huge. I mean, if you go through history, the first rock star was really Frank Sinatra. And then you got Elvis and, you know, and Beatles as a group, and then the Beatles in their own right, and the Rolling Stones, who are my favorite band in the world. And, you know, he, you know, the amount of music that he wrote over the years and all the different styles and the fashion and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because Sinatra didn't write songs, but the fashion thing was there.
Yeah.
The vibe was, man, the man was just,
yeah.
I mean, he started the whole damn thing. You know, Elvis didn't write his own songs either,
no.
really, you
no.
know, but he did something, as David did, that was timely. He knew what to do and when to do it. It's
yeah.
timing.
Yeah, and that's a skill, isn't it?
Oh, it's a skill, and then there's also a little bit of, okay, I'm going against the grain like a motherfucker here.
Yeah.
And it's either going to backfire or it's going to work. And you've got to have that, because 90-something percent of everything I've got approached or started in this business has blown up in my face. The other 8 to 10%
is pure
feeds
magic.
Me.
Yes. Yeah. Now, of course, this week we've had the passing of Prince as well, haven't we? A lot of parallels, I think, have been made between
weird.
Prince. Yeah.
Prince is a different animal to me, completely. You know, he had definitely made a major mark, and he was a major artist. Just as different as Elvis was to Bowie, as Bowie was to Sinatra, you know, Prince was, you know. That's why they were all icons, because they weren't... You can't be an icon if you sound like the other guy.
That's
we
true.
Saw that in the British Invasion. But how many bands came out of England? I mean, Christ. I mean, in
yeah.
1 year, there must have been 50 bands came out of
yeah,
Liverpool
yeah, yeah.
that had hit records. How many lasted 5 years? Not
yeah,
many.
Yeah.
And only one's lasted 50-something, and it's been the Stones.
Absolutely. So you need to have that unique element, don't you? What that
the,
little bit
the
of gold
element
dust.
That the Stones have is that they got a lust for being on a stage like I do. That's what it's about. And they've managed to get through all the fights and spats and the bullshit. But when you got something like that, you can't let the small stuff get in the way. And that's, you know, in any relationship of any kind, you know, if you're gonna break up because somebody didn't wash a spoon, then you're
yeah.
probably not the right person.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
but if you could have it out with your mate in the band, you know, because, you know, me and DV had a couple of... You have to. It was laughed off 5 minutes later. That's the way it should be. Sometimes it would take a week. But actually, one time it took 8 years.
Oh, dear. Well, it could be worse. But you see, that's the creativity, isn't it? That's a bit of the creative mind, you know? And
yeah.
it's sort of like you have to have that in the art world, don't you, really?
And you also have to have a connection with the person that you're creating with or creating for or whatever. There's got to be
yeah.
a like-mindedness about stuff,
yeah.
you know? Because, you have to be able to read each other's minds. You really do. That's
yeah.
really important. You got to be able to anticipate what's going to happen.
Yeah, sure. Well, to give a good
not
performance.
Not in a literal sense. You know what I mean? You have to get that...
That connection.
Yep.
Got to be there. I totally agree. Now, have you ever been tempted just to stay with that one band and be a band member?
I always wanted to, but, you know, I've never found the right combination that didn't blow up. And... In all honesty, there was a couple of times where I had put together a band or two, and with a certain mindset that I had, and the record company was signed the band based on that, what it sounded like, And as soon as you sign the goddamn contract, well, you know, you guys, where's the hit? And then the rest of the guys would get scared, and they go along with the record company. We'd have a shit record, and then the band would be broke up. You know, the only band that could have stayed together was Phantom Rocker and Slick. Because we did have, you know, it wasn't major, but we sold a substantial amount of records. We had a top 10 hit that hung on the charts in the States for a long time.
Yeah.
And some other countries. And we had a top 40 hit that Keith Richards played on as well.
Oh, right. Okay.
By mistake. Where Keith, you know, and that hung in the top 40 for a while. And basically, you know, our bad habits just took us apart. That's all.
Yeah. You know. Well, it's hard to sustain these things, isn't it, in the music industry?
It
is, yeah. So we're here doing Station to Station. Mm-hmm. And then where are you going on from here?
We do 6 dates here. We do 3 or 4 of these in Japan, and then that's it. I mean, this was not meant and is not a tribute, because it was booked last year.
Yeah.
I didn't even know David was sick, so it wasn't booked saying, oh, David's going to die soon, so I'm going to do this.
No.
You know, I did it because I wanted to do it, you know. Yeah. And now that he's passed, I wasn't going to do anything past this anyway, but, you know, who wants to be that guy? You know, I'm gonna. He's gone, and that's that. You know,
it
might sound harsh, but the music's there, and that's great. And if they want to hear it, they can go see lots of tribute bands. But I'm, as being part of it, I didn't want to do that. You know, and plus, I want to get back to what I was doing. You know, been doing. You know, just, you know, playing my blues and having a good time.
Brilliant.
And that's only where Bernard Fowler comes in. Because one of the reasons I had turned this down in the first place was the powers that be in the UK kept coming up with ideas about singers that were very Bowie-like. And I said, no, why would I do that? I'd wait for him to go back out, do the real thing. So I said, you know, I mean, if and when you want to come back, we'll talk about it. You know, I want to get the right guy. And, you know, Bernard being with the Stones for a really long time and same roots as I have. And he's not just a backup singer with the Stones. He's got his own career. And he's a hell of a front man.
Yeah.
And one of the best singers I've ever worked with. And you know, we have that connection, you know. And that's why Bernard's here. I waited. So, you know, we'll wait when Bernard's get a break from the Stones and we go do it.
And go and do it. And here you are, and you're together with that little bit of magic. It's going to be on stage tonight.
Yep.
Everybody else is going to be out there looking. That's going to be wonderful.
Yep.
Thank you very much for speaking to me, Earl. You're absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
You've been listening to Cattails.
To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattails.co.uk.